time to tell the neighbors that Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Okay, good morning to one and all. What a beautiful day it is. Wow. There's nothing more enticing than blue sky. Makes you feel good all over. That's a phrase that little Annie Rooney used to say in the comic strips. Golly, Zero, I feel good all over. Zero was her dog. But it does. Blue sky and warmer temperatures makes you feel good all over. And it can spruce up even the most sickly people, as long as they can see the blue sky. Oh, I went through a bunch of that recently. And, of course, it was cold outside, so the blue sky really didn't help me much just looking at it. Okay, so let me see. What do I have? Oh, today is going to be this evening at the Marion Public Library, something that is down my alley. It's going to be wild, edible, and medicinal plant program at the Marion Public Library, 7 till 8 p.m. this evening. And it's going to be an introduction to plants out there in the wild that are good to eat or offer some medicinal, that is, characteristics. So that should be good. And on the internet, James has put a sampling of some of the plants. Now, like, you can go out in your front yard, pick all the violets you can find, and put them in a salad today. Violets, have a good taste to them, very delicate. And then there's the purslane, which is kind of a rubberish type of plant, and it's good. As there's he'll explain that tonight at the library between 7 and 8 p.m., all the goodness of some plants. And, of course, some plants you want to avoid, like poison ivy. I've been going through and trying to clip off the poison ivy leaders because, they spread. Oh, my goodness. And so I've been able to cut some of the main arteries to some of the poison ivy plants way in our backyard. You cut them off at the, it's like cutting them off at the root. Okay, so what do I have to give away today? Well, let me see. Would you like to go to the Columbus Zoo? I've got a couple of pairs of tickets for that. I've got a coffee cup from Jeggs and an extra large T-shirt from Jeggs. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4 items to give away today, if you have the right answer. Now, here's something I want you to do, if you have time. In the news yesterday and today, they're talking about maybe government action to take away these robocalls. Do you ever notice you get these calls during the noon hour? We do about every day at 12:10. Somebody's trying to sell something. But what is a robocall? Where did the phrase robo come from? Now, that'd give you something to look up on the internet. Type in robo, define, and see what you get. And it probably won't be what you thought robo means. I always thought it meant robotic calls, calls made from a robot. But that's not the case, really. Look up Robo, and if you get a deciding answer on that, give me a buzz during the program today. Okay, so what can I ask you that you might not know that you could win a prize? Oh, my goodness. Let me see what else is happening in the news. I guess the Robo thing, and let's see, that governor of Alabama that just signed the anti-abortion law in effect there in Alabama, which is going to reflect, you know, end up in the Supreme Court. And, of course, that's the, you know, we've heard for years and years, Roe versus Wade, and that decision. And so that's eventually that will come up. It's going to be a hot thing in the Supreme Court. So that'll be something to latch on to if you're interested in news like that. Okay, so in regular life here, let's see, we've had too much rain. For our flowers, it's just fine. And for our grass, it's made it grow like gangbusters. I've mowed our grass 4 times now. I know it's going down Center Street. A couple of homes never have mowed grass yet. And it's kind of interesting. Of course, the people that live there may not be able to get out to do anything, and they're relying on somebody else helping them out. I don't know. But you can drive down different streets in Marion and see if somebody's going to have to come along and cut the grass for them. And, of course, that's been in the news, too, about the city. It used to be the health department that had to take care of that matter. Now I think it's up to the city. I think. I don't know for sure. Have any of you listeners had a confrontation this way about your tall grass? And there's nothing neater, though, than a town with everybody paying attention to where they live and cutting the grass and keeping things neat. That's very impressive, especially to someone coming to Marion looking the town over for maybe a future investment. Okay, let's see, the time is 10:22, and how are you? Let's see, what else is current? I'm trying to think. The robo-call thing, that's attracting a lot of attention because it's getting to people's nerves. I mean, you just can't turn around sometimes without getting a robo-call. And that's why I wanted you to look up the meaning of robo and then call me and give me your opinion on that. Yeah, you'd think it meant robotic, but it doesn't. All right. Okay, now, here's my first question today. Back years ago, we used to have a lot of sports cars around Marion. I mean, they were, you know, in the late 50s, it was a lot of fun. I can remember we had one of our club members, we had a sports car club. One of our members had an Alfa Romeo. And it was like having the Alfa Romeo in a sports car club that had more common, you know, Austins and different things. Everybody admired that Alfa Romeo. Wow. And it's like now in the airplane, model airplane business, you know, the kind that, you know, you can fly with remote controls. There is always somebody in the club that has the most expensive. You ever notice that? In trains also. In model train clubs, there's always somebody that has the biggest and best. But I guess whatever turns one on, or whatever means one must have to get turned on. Okay. Okay, now back to the sports car business. At one time in Marion, of course, we did have a lot of sports cars. We had a sports car club, and we had activities. You didn't necessarily have to have a real, honest-to-goodness sports car. You could have a foreign car, because back then, foreign cars, there were Volkswagens, there was Renaults, and a few others, but nothing. That was before Honda. That was before all these other Asiatic car Kia and all the others, but of course Honda's mostly made in this country now. But long before that, well, if you had a Renault, and of course now after years they call them Renaults, I guess maybe that's the correct French pronunciation, but when they first came out, Renault, and there were a lot of them around town. And I can remember a friend of mine had one, and they traveled all over in that small car. Okay, so what I'm asking you now, I need for you to name an extra small car made in England. What were they called? An extra small sports car. What was its name? Now, if you can answer that, I'll give you your choice. You know, maybe you want to go to the zoo. I don't know. 7403-39944. What was that small, extra small English sports car? You know, there was the regular English sports car, many of them, but this one was extra small, and it had a title. Now, what was it? 1028's the time. Of course, that was a long time ago. And, oh, here we go. Yes, caller, go ahead.
An MGB?
Well, yes, an MG Midget, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Hey, would you like a prize today?
What you have?
I've got zoo tickets, I've got a extra-large T-shirt, and a coffee cup.
Oh, I think I'll pass right now.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, MG Midget. Of course, nowadays, you couldn't call it a midget, could you? It had to be called an MG Dwarf. You know, we went through that era a long time ago. People, you know, small people did not like being called midgets. And they would rather have been called, appropriately, dwarfs. A dwarf meaning something that is extra small, maybe born that way, maybe a hereditary and whatever. But midget was a dwarf, not a midget. Yeah, and they rejected, at least the ones I knew. We had, and I just saw, he was in the paper the other day, Les, you know, the electrician. And he was a dwarf. He was very small. But he managed to work around and did excellent work. And he had, you know, for climbing ladders and doing all the work, he had to be extra, you know, capable, physical. And he did a great job. Okay. So, let me cross off the MG Midget here. How many of you ever drove an MG Midget? Now, let's keep with the car business. Now, we know that some of the finest cars have the name Rolls-Royce. Now, Rolls-Royce also manufactures a lot of other things other than cars. We had a Rolls-Royce plant over in Mount Vernon. They didn't produce cars. No, they produced huge oil line pumps, or pumps that would pump any ingredient through large lines across the country. Rolls-Royce is a specialist in producing large, efficient types of engines. And of course, the Rolls-Royce car is kind of like a signature to them of the very best. Have you ever been in a Rolls? I never have been in a Rolls-Royce. Close to that was an M, was a, let's see, a Jag, was it a Jag, not a Jaguar. There used to be a, in town here, one of the Guthries had a very beautiful sedan, and the inside was appointed in this finished hardwood, and it even had a bar in the back seat. What was the name of that company? I'm trying to remember. But there was a fellow in, well, maybe it wasn't Jaguar. What was it? Oh, it's on the tip of my tongue. Because there was a man in Marion by the name of Bill Cooper, and Bill had a white one, but his was...
You know, Nan Britton, the mother of President Harding's only child, wrote the first tell-all book called The President's Daughter.
Yes, it is a very detailed book, should we say?
Wow, is it detailed? I've seen instruction manuals that were less detailed.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth.
A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Okay, we're back once again, and caller Terry, go ahead.
Bentley.
A what?
The car you were talking about, a Bentley?
Yes, a Bentley.
Yeah. It's looks very similar to a Rolls Royce.
Right.
All the burled oak and all of that wood and everything.
Yeah. So,
okay. We'll catch you later.
Oh, okay. Thanks. Okay. Bentley. Yeah. There was a Bentley down, maybe it still is, just down the road from me. Very classy looking car. Boy, those English cars, though. Have you noticed on some of the English programs? That, well, like that one, that long series, all those beautiful English cars. Oh, my goodness. And I bet some of those old cars are worth fortunes. My. But, yeah, the Bentley. The Bentley and the Rolls-Royce, very similar. And both command quite a bit of money. 10:32 is the time. Now, can any of you explain what a robocall means? What the word robo stands for? Now, you can look that up on the internet, which I did today, and it's kind of confusing. And that's why I'm asking you to look up and see if you can come up with your own explanation of what R-O-B-O stands for. Now, I did see one pronunciation in English, which meant research online, buy online. Now, I don't know if that's a real definition of robo. I don't think so. If you look this up, let me know what you feel robo stands for, because that's in the news today and yesterday and probably tomorrow, too, as we try, the FCC tries to decide whether they have the power to ban those or the government does. I don't know. But we're all getting tired of answering robocalls. My goodness. Especially during the lunch hour. Whenever they got an idea, we're free. Of course, I've had robocalls before 9 in the morning, too. And the thing is, I've had some that said, you know, you have a pain in your back. Now, we've got everything to take care of all that. And I said, well, how do you know I have a pain in my back? Which I didn't. But, and they can't answer you because usually it's in broken English and you can't understand to begin with. And okay, now, we've got the Bentley. Let me cross that off my list for today. And I've only, you know, I've got tickets to the zoo. I got a Jags extra large shirt and a coffee cup. All right, now, so what's, okay. If you were out and where, you know, Old Faithful, the geyser is, how many of you have been out there? And the Old Faithful geyser is more than just plain water, isn't it? Is it hot? I would think it is. But what is there about Old Faithful and all those little geysers? What would define them other than just water squirting out of the ground? Yeah. Is there something about them that distinguishes them as something special? Well, there's something special to begin with if they're squirting out of the ground. And the same way with those geysers in Iceland. You know, they heat with that water they capture, run it through homes, and you don't have to burn coal or gas or anything else. You just heat with hot water. But what is it? What's the characteristics of the water coming out of a geyser? It's something other than just hot water. If you can explain that, why, I'll give you a prize today if you so desire. 7-4-0, 3-8-9, 7-4-0, I should say, 3-8-3-9-9-44. That's 7-4-0, 3-8-3-9-9-44. Okay. We've had the Bentley, the small sports car, but I want you to tell me about the characteristics of the water coming out of a geyser. Now, if you were blindfolded, how could you tell there was water squirting out of the ground? Is there something with that water? Okay. Next question. Keep that in mind, though, if you can answer that. There was once a hotel. Let's see, in Marion, we have a hotel on the corner now. What's that, the corner of Cherry and West Center? What is that, Cherry Street there? But anyhow, on going the other way, we had a hotel, a rather large one, not quite as big as the Harding, but it wasn't enough, apparently, to satisfy all the needs for a hotel in Marion, so the Harding Hotel was built. And it was being built during the period that the Harding Memorial was being constructed, about the same time. But this other hotel, I want you to give me the name of it. Another hotel which supplied the needs of anyone wanting a hotel in Marion. Now, we did have the Kerr Hotel and a few of the others, but this one was kind of outstanding. I can remember most of the others, and I watched them being torn down. Yeah, we had a lot of hotels at one time, when you come to think about it. But the other main hotel was on another corner in Marion. What was its name? It was on the corner of State and Center. What was its name? And it's gone. So now we have only the Harding Hotel, right? As far as hotels go. Do we have motels. Do we have a motel within the city limits? Well, we have the one up on North Main Street. That's in the city limits. Do we have any others? I think most all of them are outside the city limits of Marion. And did you ever wonder, most of the wealth that's being produced in this area comes from outside our city limits. Interesting, eh? Now, is Whirlpool outside the city limits? I'm trying to think. Nucor, that's within the city limits. That's a big employer, a big producer of goods. But is Whirlpool outside the limits or inside? But most of the wealth in Marion is outside the city limits. Okay. The name of the hotel, the corner of State and Center Street. What was its name? And it was kind of a classic hotel, but it was mainly, you know, supplying rooms to stay overnight in, and there was a little area they used for entertainment at times. But what was its name? The Harding Hotel eventually, more or less, put a big shadow over it. Harding Hotel was a higher class situation altogether. And meal-wise and banquet-wise, everything took place for a long time at the Harding Hotel. Dinners and buffets and all kinds of special occasions. Although, at one time, oh, here we go. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Hey, Charlie.
Yes.
Yeah, a hotel on Center and State. Was that the Marion?
Yes, it was a Marion Hotel. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Well, have you won? Do you want a prize today?
I'm not eligible until Saturday.
Oh, okay. Okay, Bob.
I got two days.
Okay. Thanks for calling, Bob. All right, Bob Austin. Good, steady listener. All right. I'll cross off the Marion Hotel at the corner of State and Center. Okay. Now, Now, here's a question outside of Marion. If you were to go down to, where would it be, Jamestown, Virginia? There's a statue of a lady down there. You know, Jamestown was the first settlement, I guess, in these United States. And that was must have been before the Pilgrims landed at Plymouth. But there's this lady statue there at Jamestown. Now, I stood right beside her once and had my picture taken. Who was she? Well, it was an Indian lady, for one thing. I'll give you that much of a clue. She married an Englishman, and after they got married, he said, hey, let's vacation in Europe. Of course, I think he was a European to begin with. So they hopped on a ship, a sailing ship, and sailed to England. And, well, here we go. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Hey, Charlie.
Yes.
I'm just going to be here for a minute. Come in and get a drink of water. But I heard, I flipped the old channel on. There's Charlie. He's bright as could be. And the sun's shining as bright as could be.
Oh, isn't it great?
But get the mowing done, they say, if you can. But there's awful bad spots yet existing. But they said it's supposed to get some heavy rains and some terrible winds and possible sleet.
Yeah, they're always talking about that, aren't they? Especially at 6:30 every night.
Charlie, getting back to what I just heard something about Harding Hotel.
Yes.
Is that still, if you was a person that never been to Marion or something, you'll say, I'm going to stay at the Harding Hotel. I heard that about that. Do they rent rooms out for people, tourists and stuff? I don't think they do.
Don't think so. You know, I'm glad you brought that up because that's been a question in my mind for a long time. I know at one time that was all senior citizen apartments.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Then the railroaders were from the West End, from over there, the West Western Division. See, Mary and we went east.
Yes.
This was a dividing point on the area.
Oh,
everything
where
from
was
Marion went west. That was called the Western, and then this one was more. Well, it wasn't really called that, but they called them the C&E guys, and then the Kent and all that went. Anyhow, getting off the subject, the railroaders stayed in there for a while, and they practically wrecked the place, I understand. But they got built Marion up and everything, and they're going to have the Harding Hotel. And if you flew in here or something and you said, I'm going to stay at the Harding, isn't this nice? They got the Harding Museum, the Harding Home, the Harding Memorial, and we're going to sleep tonight, honey, and have a few drinks up there in the lounge area, you know, and everything.
Yeah.
And they'll find out.
Yeah,
this place ain't even existing as a hotel.
Well, now you're going to go to the Holiday Inn, the Comfort Inn, or one of the other motels.
Well, they're usually full when they have a dog show.
Oh, you said it. Yes.
Well, they're getting used, aren't they, Charlie?
Okay.
Good day. I'll catch up with you later.
Okay, Ted. Thanks. Okay.
That just in some potatoes.
Oh, okay. All right.
Hey, have a good day, Charlie.
You
thanks.
Too. Okay. Yeah. Now, Ted mentioned potatoes. I've got a machine. It's probably 100 years or more. Oh, here we go. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Hey, Charlie.
Yes.
The Harding Hotel was rented out for seats. Now, I think there's a few left, but she rents it out to the college people.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right,
she made it. So that people here in town could stay there from college.
That's right, yeah. And the college kids would have had to ride their bike to OSUM probably or take a car.
Right, and then across the street where the old Eagles was?
Yes.
That's also for college.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Yeah, got them opened up as family for college.
Remember, the police department used to be up there, too.
Right, down below.
Yeah, right.
Down inside the old police department.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Oh, yeah, a long time ago.
Yes. Okay, Bob. Thanks for the information. Okay. Yes. That's another bit of our history. The Eagles building and the police department across the street from the Harding Hotel. And that made it handy when Dillinger stayed at the Harding. Dillinger got
word. Scott, WWGH Radio is my favorite place for news.
Well, Ted, I take that as high praise.
Well, it's true, without a doubt. Where else can you find a mayor, governor, treasurer, and the Golden Voice all on the same show? Variety is the spice of life.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Okay, back once again. I mentioned the fact that Dillinger once stayed at the Harding Hotel. Now, wouldn't it be interesting if there were any records? Of course, he wouldn't have signed in as Dillinger, would he? No way. But wouldn't it be interesting to know what room he stayed in? And, of course, I'm sure that's all lost to history by now. But he spent, I don't know how much time in Marion altogether, except he did, and I used to talk to a lady who knew him, who had met him as a young girl. Her dad had a photography studio in Marion, and rather, well, I don't know if she had her right mind or not, but she said that Dillinger used to come to her dad's photographic studio to get pictures developed. And I said, what kind of pictures? She said, oh, there were real pretty homes in Marion. Listen, I've often wondered whether she was, you know, telling me just a story or whether it was the truth. But she said that he was accompanied by a lady in a red dress. Well, you know, the famous lady in red. And Dillinger would set her on his lap while he was in the photography studio. Now, I don't know if that... I took for granted it was true, but I don't know. I can't prove it. But then I also met the man who drove a car for Dillinger. And he told me how Dillinger apparently got word from some person somewhere that he was about to be discovered at the Harding Hotel, and he left rather quickly. And by the time the police got there, and they were just across the street, of course, Dillinger was gone. But, you know, we're in a period of time now when I don't know if there's anybody living that can remember any of those details accurately. Now, there's a lot of things that can be said, people dreaming up things, but in real life, I would love to know if anyone ever passed any information down to their kids or accurate information about Dillinger when he came to Marion. And why would he come to Marion? Okay, here we go. Okay, caller, go ahead. Hello? Well, our caller's gone. Just like Dillinger. But now you wonder, are there any police records on file which would indicate that they were once sent to the Harding Hotel to pick up Dillinger? Now, are there any police records going back to that era? Now, at one time when I was a president of the Marion County Historical Society, we were given a big metal safe with court records in it. And they were all, you know, dusty and so forth. And I was going through them once, and I found a trial where the daughter of Eber Baker claimed that she was, sexually assaulted by a man. And they brought the man to trial. He said, I didn't do it. And the judge said, oh, yes, you did. But that's all in that record. So do we have any other records of when Dillinger was in Marion? Now, there was a lady in Marion, And I'm sure she's gone. She was a hairdresser. But she had once worked in Chicago, and she was working in a beauty shop across the street from where Dillinger was killed. He was leaning up against a telephone pole or something, she said, and the police shot him, and of course, he died right there on the spot. And she said, you wouldn't believe what happened after that before they picked up Dillinger and took him away. Of course, he was bleeding profusely. She said ladies came there with their little tiny handkerchiefs and soaked up some of his blood for souvenirs. Yes, that was a real story told by a lady who was there. And I often thought, did any of that ever get in a movie? Probably not. But she was from Marion. I wish I could remember what her name was. But you see, a long time ago, I talked to people who were in history in an earlier era, an era that's long gone. Well, just like when I used to speak at the East Lawn Manor, where a lot of people had retired and they couldn't afford, regular institution, so they were very comfortable, though, living at East Lawn Manor, very well taken care of. So I had a birthday party there once a month, and merchants donated ice cream and cake, and we had a great time, and the ladies at East Lawn Manor that worked there helped out. And so I got to talk to a lot of people who were living during the time that Harding was alive, and one lady was very very sincere and saying, I just loved Warren Harding because he was such a nice man. Now, this was when he was editor of the Marion Star before, in between his serving as state senator and so forth. But she said he was such a nice man. He used to walk to school with us, and it every now and then he'd hold our hand. A very nice man. Now, that person's long gone, of course. And just too bad that back at that time, we didn't get some recordings. Of course, we had maybe tape then. it would have been something to have some eyewitness accounts of that. Now, Trella Romine, she was a little tiny girl, and she actually shook the hand of Warren G. Harding. And the lady teacher, I can't remember her name now, if I mentioned, she had red hair and one of the most well-known teachers in Marion. In fact, her dad, she told me, built the Harding home. He was he built homes, and I can't remember her last name. But she stood there and listened to Harding speak on his front porch. And then another man told me he was there too, and at one of Harding's speeches. And this boy had red hair. His hair was white at the time when he talked to me. But now here was an eyewitness to one of Harding's speeches at the front porch. And he said that Harding looked at him or spotted him because of his red hair, a little boy with red hair, standing there listening to Mr. Harding speaking. So after it was over, Warren G. walked down the steps and shook hands with that boy and said, "Hey, Red, how you doing?" And the boy got mad. He said, "Nobody calls me Red," and he kicked Harding in the ankle. He did. He said, "I kicked him in the ankle pretty hard because I didn't want to be called Red." Now, there's another, but that's all past history, all long gone. Now, how many people are living today that could say they were there? Nobody, right? Nobody. No one was there. They'd have to be quite old. Oh, my goodness, yes. And so it is. All we have is secondhand accounts. All right, but the little boy, the red-headed boy that kicked Harding in the shin, I'll never forget that story. He was an older man, of course, when he talked. He probably was, I don't know, 70, 80 years old. And he got a kick out of telling that story. He was a little boy that kicked the man to become president in the ankle. Okay, now let's get back to... What's different about the water that came out? Old Faithful, the geyser. You know, every so many minutes, it shoots up out of the ground. Is it just so much water, and then it goes away? Is there some characteristics there? Can anyone tell me? And the same way with any geyser. There's a little different, something different with them. What would it be? 10:56 is the time. Okay, now, can you name that Indian lady who still stands at Jamestown, Virginia, the first settlement in America? And she married John Rolfe, and the two of them went to Europe. I started telling that before, didn't I? They went to Europe, and little did she realize that when she went to Europe, no one had ever been exposed to a lady Indian like her. Well, they didn't know, but she carried some disease with her. It had no effect on her in this country. Oh, okay, caller, go ahead.
The lady was Pocahontas.
I thought it was Sacagawea.
We'll go with your answer, but I'm looking at it. We'll stay with you, Charlie.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all right. If it's I might be a little bit. Where did Sacagawea? I have to confirm.
Remember Pocahontas and him got in the canoe and went cross country.
Oh, really? Oh, this lady married John Rolfe, and they went to Europe, and she spread disease. So.
Well. I'm going to go with your answer then, Charlie. I'm wrong.
No. It might have been. I was there. I did it. I took a whole group of Marian people there once.
Well, let me cheat and look it up, and I'll be back.
Yeah, look it up. And yes. Okay, good. Thank you. All right, yeah, he'll look that up. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Sacagawea or Pocahontas. Yeah, which one was? My goodness. Of course, you can Google that real quick. All right, if you can spell Sacagawea. Now, Pocahontas, no problem. Okay, now, let me see. What is the, let's see, it's almost 10:58. Let me see. automobiles have, oh, here we go. This could be the answer. Yes, go ahead, caller.
Sacagawea.
A what?
Sacagawea.
I thought it was Sacagawea.
Everybody calls her Sacagawea, but
yeah,
the natives called her Sacagawea.
Is she the one that married John Rolfe?
Well, if I recall, remember Sacagawea, Lewis, and Clark.
Oh, really? What'd she do with them?
That's what I recall.
Did she ride in a canoe with them?
I think they took the Volkswagen.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Since it was waterproof, and you know, you could drive on land and float.
Well, they probably had to calculate, too, the distance between service stations.
Well, you think that was a problem? Gee whiz, just think. Where do you buy gas back then?
Well, that's right. It was few and there were signs all over the place. If you think there's gas ahead, forget it.
Mm-hmm. You have to. If you want to get to Old Faithful, you'll have to walk.
Yeah. Then. Okay, now you would know more about the characteristics of Old Faithful. Is there anything that stands out with that water?
Bad water. You don't want to drink it. It's about 200 and some degrees.
Yeah, it was pretty hot.
Yeah.
But there was something else about that water. Yeah. Okay, we'll talk about it after the break.
I'm trying to think.
Yeah.
Well, no, doggone it. I just did a thing on Sacagawea or Sacagawea.
Yes.
John Smith.
John.
So who was it that the Lewis and Clark ran into?
I don't know, but I thought John Rolfe married Sacagawea.
Here I have Pocahontas versus Sacagawea or Sacagawea.
Yeah. Hey, now
I'm... contrast essays.
Yeah.
Pocahontas versus her.
You're listening.
Okay, we got a break.
WPH Radio, okay. 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio.
I'm Charlie Evers, and I'll be on 10 till 12 today, and welcome your phone calls. Today, I'm going to leave it up to all of you to ask questions.
I want you, who are listening today, to invest your time and energy in this radio station. I think it's an interesting experiment. We're having a lot of fun doing it. But by your support, you can possibly arrange for them to get a better heater in the studio, because we talked about this last night.
Here we go.
That space heater just isn't doing the job. I have my parka on that I wore in the car to come to work this morning.
3 minutes in, and we're already on the heater again.
I'm sorry. It's killing me here.
No, let me tell the story about the heat.
Oh, okay.
Okay, let's get into this right away off the bat. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwg.